cons and Lucky Charm cereal, and of course, famine and bloodshed. He went to Arizona State, where I was visiting my friend Suzanne, but his family lived in Pasadena, which is just outside of LA, but at least an hour and a half from my home in Woodland Hills. We went through the usual college pre-hookup meet and greet of, what's your major? Dorm? High school? What was your SAT? Is there a history of cancer in your family? How about acne? With Kevin, the conversation was really easy, and the alcohol helped. I don't think I ever saw the bottom of my red plastic cup. Fraternity guys are trained to never allow a sorority sister's drink to run out. They're such gentlemen in that way. At about 1 a.m., it was time for us to leave. Suzanne was from Arizona, and we were crashing at her parents' house, so we couldn't be too late. Kevin asked for my number, and I asked for his. I loved having the guy's number. At the time, my Heather's philosophy was that these guys always lose the little pieces of paper with the numbers scribbled on them. They must lose them. Or what other explanation is there for them not calling? I couldn't risk the possibility that my precious phone number might be held hostage in the crevice of a futon for months, and by the time it was rescued, the guy would have no recollection of who I was. If you can believe it, in the 90s, there were no Blackberries or iPhones or Palm Pilots, so the potential boyfriend could not program my digits into his telecommunicative device. By getting his number, I had control if I chose to call him. He said he'd be back in Pasadena over Thanksgiving, and we should go out then. I was going to hold him to it, and that's why I kept his number, safe, in my Velcro Louis Vuitton knockoff wallet. I also transcribed it into two different notebooks in two different locations, just in case I was approached by a mugger while walking to my car and I couldn't reach my mace or kick him in the groin while yelling, "Fire!" I was told fire gets more response than rape, and he successfully grabbed my purse. Like Oprah says, never go to the second crime location, even if it means a potential boyfriend's phone number might be lost forever. I also decided to always keep a bottled water and granola bar in my car, just so when the big earthquake strikes and a freeway collapses on my car, I can eventually tell Oprah, and even though there was only a small pocket of air, I managed to reach down and get that water and granola bar until help arrived. Oprah always tears up at a good story about survival and rationing one granola bar over a period of 10 days. Thanksgiving weekend rolled around, and I left USC, where I was in my sophomore year, for the long 46-minute drive home to the Valley. The Wednesday before Thanksgiving Day is always a great party night. People don't have to work the next day, and some are staying, like me, at their parents' house. I loved flopping into my double bed with its pink ruffled canopy top, which, by the way, does not work like a bunk bed. My sister and I learned this the hard way. I would lie among my stuffed elephants and panda bears, which were impossible to cuddle because they were all won by my dad from various trips to Six Flags and therefore synthetic, and watch my junior varsity cheerleading ribbon spinning around my room before I passed out. This memory repeated itself every Thanksgiving. It just always screamed autumn to me. Around 6 p.m. on Thanksgiving, with some Blue Nun wine and tryptophan in my bloodstream, I decided to call Kevin O'Sullivan and see if he still wanted to take me out that weekend. Needless to say, he hadn't called me. I retrieved the number from my wallet and dialed. It was his home number, and an Irish woman answered, which freaked me out because any Irish woman sounds like a nun to me. My heart was already beating because I was calling a boy, and now I was having flashbacks of my fourth-grade math teacher, Sister Trez. "Yes, is Kevin there, please?" I asked as politely as I could, thinking she could ask me to solve a long division problem at any moment. "One moment, dear," she replied. "Hello," Kevin said. "Oh, hi. This is Heather. I met you at the ATO party a while back. I go to USC," and he cut me off. "Of course. How are you, Heather?" he asked. The rest of the conversation was easy, yet my heart still managed to beat at an excessive rate. Whenever I was on the phone at my parents' house, I never knew when my dad would start yelling about something so loud that the person on the other end would hear, "Don't get your tit in a ringer about the blood! Just give me the goddamn band-aids!" When that happened, I would immediately hang up. And then when the house was quiet again, I'd call back and say, "What's up with your phone? We just got disconnected. That's so weird. You really should have that checked out." We made plans for Kevin to pick me up on Friday night at my parents' house, and we decided we would go out in Woodland Hills. Being a